Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. We are an hour away from kickoff. It is the opening game of the season across the Canadian Football League with the Riders and the Red Blacks tonight at Mosaic Stadium. Of course, the game on TSN. What are your predictions? 1-877-332-8255. But right now, after we've just been eating, it's time for Who's Gonna Eat?
Who's gonna eat with Belton Johnson?
1, 2, 3, let's eat!
Belton's already starting his meat coma from the cowboy steaks that are being cooked up for the pregame show from listener Darren from Ross Percy.
Right, Darren, man.
Do you know how good that was?
Oh, yeah.
I want to go back. Can we just pause for a little second?
Every commercial break, I'm running down there.
All right.
Because we're not allowed to bring food or drink in the studio. Right. So.
And we always follow the rules.
Always follow the rules. But for Who's Going to Eat, we look at the two teams, some of the matchups, and we predict who's going to have a big game tonight. Belton, where do we start?
Let's start with the Riders defense, Jamie.
The Saskatchewan Rough Riders defense. Who do you have your eye on eating tonight?
This is in honor of Darren down there who cooked the steaks. I'm going Milligan. Pick six.
Yeah, that's what Darren said.
Pick six.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Pick six for Roland Milligan Jr., the reigning defensive player of the year, number two on the CFL top 50 list. That is what Darren did predict was a pick six for Roland Milligan Jr.
And for those stakes, whatever, that's good with me.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely. I know we had Malik Kearney on, friend of the show, but the guy I've been wanting to see because he didn't play in the preseason and very much anyway, and was hurt a little bit. NFL experience, CFL experience, Shane Ray, man, number five, the defensive end. I want to see, and especially he'll be going against a new rookie tackle. So let's see how Shane Ray does, and I think he's going to eat and maybe make a very impressive first game appearance for the Rough Riders.
I know Avery's a game time decision. I haven't seen anything that would say he isn't playing tonight. Let me just hit the Rough Riders social media account and see if they've sent out a revised depth chart. Doesn't look like that is the case. So I'll go with CJ Avery. 50 tackles as a part timer last year on this defense. Yeah. I think he might have a monster year for the Riders. Number 35, CJ Avery. That's my vote for Who's Going to Eat. Where are we going to next?
Let's go Red Blacks defense there, James.
Red Blacks defense. Spelton, where are you going?
I'm going to go number 94. Alden. I don't know. I'm just.
Well, he's playing against a rookie tackle.
Is it the rookie left tackle that he's up against?
Trevor Harris, 1, 2, 3, gone. It's not going to happen, man.
You don't think so?
1, 2, 3, get the ball up.
Okay. Yeah. And you don't think Malden's going to get to him?
I don't know. We'll see.
I'll go the other end because he'll see him again, okay, too.
That's a good defense,
yeah,
man.
Well, yeah, great defensive front four. Absolutely. Bryce Carter, number 91. That's my pick, Jamie.
All right. He's back. Adarius Pickett, injured last year, one of the best defensive players in the league. Was a huge loss for the Red Blacks. He is healthy. I'm going number six, Sam linebacker, Adarius Pickett for the Red Blacks defense. Belton, where do you want to head to next?
Let's stay with the Red Blacks over there on offense.
Okay, offense, where are you going?
I think I'm going to go with the guy who I've heard all offseason. He's been the loudest, Geno Lewis, I believe. He's been pretty loud offseason.
Yes, he has.
So is he going to back it up? He's going against a solid Rider secondary, man.
Mm-hmm. Geno Lewis.
That's supposed to be the best receiver in the league. Superstar.
He's been running that mouth all season.
I've long been a fan of Braylon Addison, number zero, their slotback, so I'll stick with him.
Okay, and I'm going to go with the guy next to him. Showed out well last year as a young receiver and returner in the Canadian Football League. I'll go with Khalil Pimpleton for the Ottawa Red Blacks as we wrap up Who's Gonna Eat with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders offense. Belton, who's eating for the Riders offense?
Olette. He's going to punch somebody in the mouth. He's going downhill today, fellas.
Well, you have him at 146 total yards of offense and two touchdowns. That would totally make sense that you're picking him to eat
the way he
tonight.
Hurdled in the preseason there, he looked like he's primed and ready.
All right. Yeah, he's a smaller version of himself.
Yeah.
He told me he's still even though he's smaller, I'm still a power back, he said. Yeah. So he's just got more speed now to drive the power as opposed to a little bit less weight. But
agreed.
With a kind of a rookie-laden secondary that they're playing against, I think the Rough Riders are going to be passing more than running, and I think that Sam Emmels is going to be their deep guy. Number 19.
Jamie, how many times did you pick Emmels last year?
And how many times
did he? 8 weeks straight?
Yeah.
Or close to it, wasn't it?
Can I just say whoever's lining up against number 4, Amari Henderson of the Ottawa Red Blacks?
Go ahead.
The opponent of number 4 for the Ottawa Red Blacks, Amari
Henderson.
You're
really disappointed in Amari Henderson at the end of last season, aren't you?
He cost them the West Final almost.
I agree with it. Yeah, he was really bad.
He was terrible in that game. So you're going to go with Emelis. I imagine every so often they might be able to get Myers on him. So I'll go Donta Myers, who's going to eat if they can flip. Who's the slot and who's the wide out? They'll move around a lot. But that's the side Amari Henderson's playing, so that's who I got. I was eating tonight. A Belton Johnson tailgating tip. Give us the recipe that we should be cooking up on a game day.
I need to ask Darren what he sees in those steaks with.
Yeah.
That was...
Let's just walk down there and whatever Darren cooked.
But I don't know if I'm going to be able to match him here, Jamie. Yeah. But... I got hot honey riblets for you guys today.
Okay, right? let's go. I'm in for some ribs.
So with the riblets, what we're going to do is get the smoker fired up, right? 225, that's nowhere smoking, low and slow, right? And season the riblets with salt, pepper. Keep it simple, right?
You rub them on?
I just sprinkle it on.
Oh, then the fun part.
Just rub it on there a little bit, I guess. But I like to sprinkle
it
on.
You're trying to get the every nook and cranny out of there, weren't you?
Every nook and cranny, okay.
And then put them on the smoker there for about 3 hours or so. And after 3 hours, while they're cooking for 3 hours, we want to make that hot honey sauce. And that consists of honey, brown sugar, soy sauce, a bit of water, and sriracha sauce. You're going to cook all that on the stovetop and, you know, cook it till it gets thickened up there a little bit and everything. And, oh, we forgot the riblets. They're still on the smoker. So after 3 hours, take them off the smoker, and what we want to do is put them in an aluminum pan and add a little bit of beer to it and cover them and let them go for about an hour or so covered. After that hour or so, oh, we forgot the sauce there. It's still on the stovetop. We're going to pour that sauce over those riblets in the pan there, and we're going to keep it uncovered, let it smoke for another 30 minutes. After that 30 minutes up there, guess what?
It's eating time.
It's eating time there.
Some hot honey riblets for tailgate and tip here on the Green Zone pregame show with Belton Johnson. So there's who's going to eat your tailgating tip ahead of kickoff tonight, 7 o'clock on TSN. The Rough Riders and the Red Blacks. Just turn your mic off first before you leave the studio to go eat. All righty, coming up here on the Green Zone pregame show, we will get to the coach, Corey Mace, and the coach's chair as he'll speak to the young man who will be playing left tackle. And he'll disclose the nickname of the left tackle coming up here on the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the Riders and the Red Blacks. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter Daryl Davis, and Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson. Getting you set for the opening game of the season, the Rough Riders and the Red Blacks. It's on TSN tonight as they open up the CFL's regular season. Once again, a reminder, CFL Fantasy, CFL Pick'em. If you want to go up against me, you can register on the Green Zone League ahead of kickoff tonight. It's at CFL.ca. The link is on my X account at Jamie Nye. But right now, it's time for the coach's chair.
Let's go!
He's got the answers to the questions you want to know about the green and white. Now, the coach's chair.
Each and every week, we hear from the head coach of the Rough Riders, Corey Mace, before kickoff. And yesterday, he spoke of the young man who will be playing left tackle, rookie Peyton Collins.
Big Red is a really good football player, man. Really excited when we had the opportunity to sign him. Certainly when he came in, he kind of validated our thoughts. Extremely smart, physical football player. He's got great feet. You know, we were messing with him today. He's got, you know, he's got a basketball background, you know, so he's got the, you know, Big Red, the Scalabrine kind of vibe, you know, but he's a hell of a kid, a hell of an athlete, and he's tough, man. So I feel very confident with him going into the game.
With the success you guys had, year one under you, and the steps taken forward, there's a lot of expectations placed on this team from outside the locker room as well as inside. How do you guys handle just everything? Do you embrace it?
Yeah, you have to. I think, you know, I don't think expectations are expected from us, but it's not the outside, which is fine. It's, you know, we know what we want to accomplish, and we have high expectations of ourselves, not in just totality, on the daily. So nothing's going to be higher than that. So we focus on that.
Every game is important, but the season opener is the only one that has about 210 days of waiting for it. What is that vibe like? What is the anticipation like as it nears?
I think it kind of, I spoke to Rob, right? Like, I think there's a little bit of a nervous tick because you're just ready to get going. You know, I'm sure the guys are like, shoot, man, let's just do it now. But that's just anticipation, you know, to get the season rolling. But to have the opening game of the season here in Regina and Saskatchewan, I mean, this is what you want from a fan base from that standpoint. And, you know, I've seen them setting up all the cameras, you know, the nice cameras for the game, you know. So the guys are, they're excited about that. And we're happy as ever that it's at home.
What, how much of a curiosity factor is there going into a season opener? I mean, you've seen the team for a solid month. You've seen a lot of these players for 2 years, but this is the first audition where it's for real. Is there that curiosity factor somewhere?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you know, we have this, a lot of the guys returning on the roster, but, you know, people change throughout an off season. You know, some take steps ahead, some take steps back, some are neutral. I mean, so we just hope everybody's taking a step forward, and certainly to this point, it looks like we have. But you don't know till you go out there and do it for real. And you know, I think just it being the first game of the year, you know, there's been preseason football you can look at for your opponents, but, you know, are you seeing everybody at their best? Are you seeing, you know, the full playbook, stuff like that? So there is a little bit of, hey, we got to see what's going to happen here as we get started before, you know, you get a full intel of, you know, how teams have changed potentially throughout the offseason. So, yeah, man, it's at this point, it's just spot the ball and let's go play.
Yes, it is. Spot the ball, let's go play, from head coach Corey Mace from the coach's chair here on the Green Zone. Belton, it's interesting you talked about preparation in the offseason as – you know, you think you got a good team. You had a good team last year, but it's up to the players to go to that next level. How important have the last 4 or 5 months been for the Rough Riders just individually to be a Grey Cup caliber team and not just go, yeah, we have 9 All-Stars, we're good, and skip a couple of gym days?
Well, I think, you know, especially the off season, it's about working out and everything, right? You know, getting that conditioning right. And but the other part is, because, again, this is where continuity comes into play. Same OC. So, you know, if quarterback, running back, wide receiver, anybody has questions on plays or anything, I'm sure they probably text or call, you know, OC asking, you know, how things should look or whatnot, right? And if they're gelling that way, man, like, I don't see nothing but greatness for this team this year. And I hope I'm not disappointed on the night. I hope not.
That's a dangerous thing to have that high expectation.
That's what I'm saying.
But this is a game where if they lose this game, I don't know. It's just like, hold off.
Yeah.
Ottawa, like Dave Naylor, has the Ottawa Redblacks going. This is a very good football team they're playing right now.
Yeah, very good offense. Agreed. Yeah, Ottawa has. You're right, but they're playing against a very good defense. But you're right. It's funny, we put so much pressure on them in one game. If they lose this one, you go, oh, maybe they're not as great as we thought. But Yeah, because the expectations are a tough thing to match all the time, right? As Trevor Harris said in that earlier interview, Jamie, every team feels this way right now, and they do. Nobody's lost a game that matters.
Yeah.
Everybody has high hopes. They think they've put everything in place. Then this team looks to us like it has, but maybe on the field, it doesn't.
Let's get to another bold prediction question ahead of kickoff tonight. Let's go. We talked a lot about the defensive lines. We talked a lot about some injuries to the Riders' offensive line and a new right tackle for the Red Blacks. Lee is a rookie starting his first game with two of the best defensive lines, Wakefield, Carter, Lang, Malden, Rose, Johnson, Ray, Carney for the Riders. So I'm going to ask, how many sacks do the Riders get? How many sacks do the Ottawa Red Blacks get? But which player gets the first sack for each team tonight?
Well, I better say Carter because I said he was going to eat for the Red Blacks.
Okay, Carter.
And Ray, I said. So I've got them both picked. How many total for each team?
Each team total sacks.
Ooh. Two and two.
Two and two. Belton?
Well, I got, Malden picked there for the Red Blacks, right?
So, yeah.
And for the Riders, I'm going to go Rose.
Rose will get the first one. How many total sacks for the Riders tonight?
I'm thinking the Riders going to get four sacks.
And the Red Blacks?
Two.
I'm going to go one sack for the Red Blacks. That sack will be, I'll go with Wakefield, an underappreciated defensive tackle. And for the Riders, I'm going to go three. I'm going to say C.J. Revis.
I thought about that.
This team doesn't blitz very often, though.
Not from what we saw last year, mm-hmm. but who knows what they're going to plan this year. Mm-hmm. Haven't really seen C.J. Revis so far this preseason. That's what I'm going with. C.J. Revis off the edge, kind of a corner half dime blitz for the Rough Riders. We all went Rose, Ray, and Revis.
Mm-hmm.
3 R's of the Riders defense tonight. Coming up next here on the Green Zone pregame show, Britton Gray's player profile. He speaks to a Super Bowl champion and a Grey Cup champion in his first year in Saskatchewan, Shane Ray. Next, and we'll hear from the commissioner who spoke to reporters earlier today. Yes, Stuart Johnston is in town for the opening kickoff of the CFL season, the new commissioner when we go around the Canadian Football League on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis and Belton Johnson with you. Before we go around the CFL and see what Daryl Davis thinks of the CFL's top 50 list and Nathan Rourke being number 7 on the list despite only playing half a season over the last 2 years, I think you know how I feel about it. Let's get to Britton Gray's player profile as he's chatting with Shane Ray, coming to the Canadian Football League, of course, former National Football League player, and ends up in Saskatchewan with somebody he really respects, which is Corey Mason.
Oh, man, for me, it's just another opportunity to play football, man. I've kept in touch with Mace, throughout my journey, and we've talked about me coming out here multiple times, and, I was still kind of in the league and back and forth, and then to finally make it happen after, everything with Mace, it feels good. I feel like I'm in a great spot to be successful and help this team as well, and I'm just looking forward to the opportunity.
How big of an impact was Mace on you that year in Toronto?
Mace was huge, just not on just me, but I think for everybody. I think your position coach defines, the expectations in your room. And Mace let me know early what his expectation was for me in that room. And, it was up to me at that point to try to make it happen. And we were able to do that. So same thing here, coming back here, Mace has an expectation of me and in our room and, the veteran guys in there. So we're just trying to put it together and create, one of the better D-lines in this league.
What have you learned throughout your career what it takes to win a championship? Because you've won a couple here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a championship team, I personally feel like it starts with the leadership and the veterans, just setting the tone for everybody else to follow. It comes from the head coach and how he organizes the team and, you know, at that point, it's, you know, are guys going to follow? Is the team going to, you know, follow that type of mission? And, you know, just seeing this team and not comparing, but to compare it to Toronto when I was there, you know, we were like one or two pieces away from a Grey Cup there my first year. And then the next year we kind of changed our mental. Mace came in. You know, we had just a different mindset and we were able to do it. And I think this team is one of those same type of situations where, you know, where you made it to last year and where we are today, I think we have an opportunity to win a Grey Cup this year just with a few changes. And, you know, if it's just one or two changes to get you over that hump, I think we're capable of doing that, you know.
How would you describe the story of Shane Ray? You know, NFL draft pick, time with the Broncos, CFL, back to the NFL, now back to the CFL.
Oh, man, you know, I'm blessed, honestly. You know, I'm blessed and resilient. You know, I was able to play a lot of great football in my career over these 11 years. Was able to go play, win a Super Bowl, contribute to an all-time great NFL defensive defense. Injuries happen. I worked my way out of that. Came out to the CFL, which most guys probably wouldn't even do. Helped that team win a championship. And, you know, I just kind of had that effect where I go, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just hoping to just bring good energy and the experience and the leadership that I have and just help this team in any way that I possibly can to make it to the pinnacle.
What is that feeling like when you win the Super Bowl, win a Grey Cup?
Man, it's great. You know, it's just you kind of look back at the whole season and see all the sacrifices and the things that you were able to do as a team. And, you know, being in both of those situations, I'm honestly truly blessed to experience that and have great veterans teach me how to grow and be a veteran and give back to these guys. So, surreal feeling, but it's like you want it again. So I want to feel that again and be a three-time champion. So that's the plan.
That is Shane Ray. First round pick, Denver Broncos, rookie season, wins a Super Bowl, had a couple of tackles in that Super Bowl as well for the Denver Broncos when they pretty well ended Cam Newton's career in that Super Bowl, dominated him all over the field with Carolina. And as you said, injuries, everything else, goes to Toronto Argonauts. And it's interesting how Corey Mace and Jeremy O'Day have wanted to build this team. Good character was very important.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey Mace doesn't bring Shane Ray back to the CFL and the Canadian Football League if he doesn't believe he can contribute to this team, not only his talent on the field, but in the room as well, Daryl.
Well, we saw that the offseason when they dumped Rakell Armstead, the running back, the troublesome running mm-hmm. back, right? He just didn't seem to fit in. So make a change, bring in guys who you think can do it and are willing to be a part of the team. You mentioned Ray. I interviewed Mike Rose the other day too. He's got that character. You can tell that when you interview these people that so a lot of times that you know some I guess there are some guys who maybe can decoy you, but he didn't seem like it. He seemed like the same type of player you're talking about, Jimmy. Tavon Campbell. Mm-hmm. We've known him. He was on the show the other day, and you know that their personalities. They're guys who want to be a part of it, and they still have some juice in the tank.
And I would say part of the community too, right? You know. I just see all those guys. Mace, he's bought in, right? Just with the community around here.
He moved
and
here, right?
He did.
And the last two coaches, head coaches, didn't live here.
And just even with the players, you know, starting to see players at different events and hearing about these things, right? And, you know, a special look at this D-line fella. I see speed and power. Just the upfront guys, right? The four.
Yeah.
I see speed, power. And when you got both of them, that's a problem.
But behind them, Aaron Patrick can play. Yep. He's another former NFLer.
Yep.
Baldonado, the global player, he's play.
Been good. Yep.
Saunders last year, yep. I think he's good enough to start, and he's backing up in this league. And then the two Canadians in Sod and Corte Moore. Corte Moore is a durable guy, great special teamer, can play great in spot duty. And we haven't even seen really what Ali Sod can do as the first-round pick of the Rough Riders this season.
You see, Ali Sod, he's listed with two numbers.
So is Micah Johnson.
I know, so is Micah Johnson. Just in case they run out of offensive linemen, they've learned to pre-list these guys, I guess, just in case. But I don't know if Sod's ever played. Well, I guess we could ask him someday if he ever played offensive line. Micah Johnson likes to tell us that he's an offensive lineman as well.
He did good, Darryl.
He really did. When you think how little he's played at that position, Micah Johnson will do anything for a team. And that's the type of guys they have. Jamie, that goes back to your original point, right? That's what they've built here, and that's what we think is going to help make them successful.
Let's go around the CFL now here on the Green Zone pregame show as the CFL's top 50 list was released on Tuesday night. The best player in the Canadian Football League, as voted by a very secretive group of panelists from around the CFL. I'm on it. I know Dave Naylor's on it. I know J.C. Abbott and John Hodge are on it.
You're giving the secret away, man.
It shouldn't be a secret.
I know it shouldn't be a secret. The number one player in the CFL, top 50, Brady Oliveira, Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I think that one makes sense last couple of years.
Yeah. Yep.
Number two, his first time ever on it, and he jumps at number two, Roland Milligan Jr. of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
That's fine. Outstanding defensive player, and for the Rough Riders, outstanding special team player, too. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm fine with that, too. The next one, Jamie, I might have a little bit of an issue with.
Number three is quarterback of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Bo Levi Mitchell.
He threw for 5,000, right?
After getting benched.
He got benched for a couple of snaps, and then that quarterback got hurt, and he came back in.
Mm-hmm. I can get behind that.
Yeah, you think so?
He gave him a little life there near the end.
I don't know if you think, I guess, but is he the best quarterback in the CFL?
No.
Okay, so then how can he be rated as the best quarterback in the CFL? Number three player in the CFL is now the best quarterback, right?
Well, he's number three on the list.
There's my point,
Brett. Number seven, Nathan Rourke.
What?
Okay, no. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Number seven?
Number seven, Nathan Rourke, who had 4 touchdowns and 9 interceptions last year. Didn't play in 2023 because he was in the National Football League. Yes, he was great for 10 games in 2022, but I'm sorry, Daryl. 2022 was a long time ago.
Yeah, I'd have trouble with that one, too. Belton, you
make it make sense to me. I'm trying to figure this one out.
Well, it's cumulative votes, too. But John Hodge, the Three Down Nation, voted him first. Voted Rourke as the best player in the league. Hodge is usually pretty solid in his evaluations, but this one I think he's a little cockeyed on.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. Some of the other riders who made the top 50 list, C.J. Revis was a 44, Jameer Thurman was in the top 50 list as well. Logan Ferland in the top 50, as was Trevor Harris.
Logan Ferland behind some pretty, not mediocre.
He was the fifth offensive lineman on the list.
Yeah, that one bothers me a little bit, too.
Stanley Bryant, come off it.
Stanley Bryant's time has passed, I think, and meanwhile, Logan Ferland is behind him in the rankings. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, away we go.
Meanwhile, the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, he is in Regina, I guess I should say, as he's doing a little bit of a media tour. And he talked about how excited he is to be in Regina for the opener of the 2025 season.
It's hard to put into words. I have been thinking that I'm happy I wasn't hired in January and had to wait 5 months for season kickoff, because I would have been just too wired. 5 weeks was a great lead-in, and experiencing the excitement coming through preseason and camp and now being here, I can feel it in the players, and I certainly can feel it with the fans, can feel it with the league staff. We can't wait to get started.
Also, he spoke about the momentum from this league and trying to create new fans.
Well, the excitement of what we're going to see on the field and the energy we're going to feel in the stands, I think, is a good starting point. And what I see here in this province in particular is one of the best flag football programs in the world. And I think the flag football is a way to introduce young people, introduce new Canadians to the game. I truly believe that if they hold a ball, they throw and catch and run with the ball, they start to learn some of the rules and some of the strategies, they're going to fall in love. It's that good a game. We have the best game in the world.
So he brings up flag football.
But NFL's totally groomed that growing ground, right?
What team are your kids on, Belton?
What is it, the Dolphins?
Buccaneers or something, right?
And the Giants.
Why isn't it the Red Blacks and the Stampeders?
And I do remember what a few years ago, I felt like there was in the fall the CFL league, but I don't know what happened.
They let
with
it
that,
go,
right?
Yeah, they let it go, and the NFL swooped in.
But did the CFL, like, I just cost feel money. Like there would have to be some type of partnership or something, right? To use the brand and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My son's been a Giant, a Bear, and now a Panther.
Yeah.
So he
like to love him to run out there one day. I don't even care if it's the Riders or whoever, but a CFL logo on their jerseys would go a long way.
And I don't know how he's it's good for Stuart Johnson to think any football is good football in their minds, true. But they're identifying with the NFL, and I think they have to change that. They might need government help to say, listen, NFL, thank you for this, and we're moving you aside. The CFL is going to have a monopoly on it.
Yeah.
That's going to drive a lot of people crazy. But I think you do have to make the transition. If the CFL wants to get behind it, finance it, and support it, then that's what they should do. And then then the kids grow up liking the Stampeders or finding out about them. I'm sure you guys, now they're Dolphins fans, right? Because that's who they played for, and that's who they want to find out about at that young age. So I think the CFL missed that opportunity first time around, and now hopefully under Stuart Johnson, they get to step in on that opportunity.
Although I'll be torn this weekend when my son plays the Raiders. Sometimes I wear my Raiders stuff to the. I'm like, I guess I can't wear that. That'd be a bad look for this week's game.
Yep, I don't want to be there.
Oh, man.
Cheer for the Panthers against the Raiders for the first time in my life this weekend. Coming up next here on the Green Zone pregame show, we'll go through the roster check, the injuries to start the year, hear from the rookie Peyton Collins ahead of his first CFL start, and our final bold prediction questions next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show as we get set. Riders and the Red Blacks. In about 15 minutes at Mosaic Stadium. Of course, it's on a TSN. Is it TSN 3 tonight with the NBA final on TSN? Yes, the NBA final's on TSN 1. So it's on TSN 3 and TSN 5 tonight for the opening game for the CFL regular season. But let's get to our third bold prediction question. Second-year Rider receivers, Donta Myers, Keyshawn Johnson, Dell Duncan Busby. As a collective, these three, how many total catches, how many total yards, how many total touchdowns, and who gets the most yardage from those three guys? I'll go first and let you guys think it. We're going. I'm bringing the heat right off the bat.
Let's start the season, man. Let's go.
I'm going to carry the two. I'm going to go with 12 catches as a collective for 198 yards and two touchdowns. The most yards will go to, well, I said he's going to eat, so I'm going to go with Donta Myers on that one.
So Myers, Duncan Busby,
and Keyshawn Johnson. Total catches, total yards, and touchdowns.
Seven.
What?
Okay. I think they're going analysts. That's who I said was
okay. That's
right?
True. And Kean Schaefer Baker.
Yeah. Seven for. What'd you say? 198.
Yes.
I'm way below that. 105.
How many touchdowns?
Zero.
And who has the most yards?
Out of the three of them, Johnson.
Johnson.
You
all right.
Know a number? No.
Nope.
Okay.
Belton.
I want to go 15. I just feel like the 15? Dink and dunk for some reason.
15 total yards.
You are 190 someone. I'm 198. Split it. Let's go 147. One touchdown, and of those three, I'm gonna go Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn Johnson. As we get to the roster check, who's in? Who's out? Let's start with the Red Blacks. Six-game injury list to start the season for former Rough Rider center Peter Godber, as well as wide receiver Nick Mardner. On the one-game injury list, their original right tackle is Zach Pelos. He is out. Eric Starzella also out. Tyree Adams is their quarterback scratch. DeAndre Lamont, Justin Howell, and Elijah McGee are out of the secondary, while a pretty good linebacker in Frankie Griffin starts on the one-game injured list, with defensive linemen Aiden John and Nigel Romick on that group. For the Saskatchewan Roughriders on the six-game injured list, couple of linemen, defensive side Charbel DeBeer, as well as offensive lineman Philippe Gagnon and offensive lineman Sean McEwen McEwen's out for the season, still not sure on Gagnon. On the one-game injured list, offensive lineman Jacob Rammer back spasm or something on Sunday led him to the injured list. Jackson Ford has a cast on his hand. He's out on the one game, as is Albert Awachi. Quarterback Jack Cohn. Sean Bain Jr. did not start the year on the six game. Start him on the one game for the veteran receiver. Yeah. Defensive back Kosi Onyeka, offensive lineman Braden Knoll, and wide receiver Canadian Tommy Neal. So with all the injuries to the offensive line, it's rookie Peyton Collins getting the start.
Obviously, didn't expect to call it up week one, but yeah, just got to be ready for whatever. And happy to get a chance to help the team this week. And yeah, I'm excited to see us go out and compete tomorrow.
What's this last month been like for you? Come to a new league, learn some new rules. Like I said, week one, here you go.
Yeah, definitely been a crazy experience, but you know, I wouldn't have chosen any different. I think this is where I'm supposed to be at in my life right now, and I'm really happy I chose to come up here and be a part of this organization. I mean, everyone has been great, and yeah, I think we got something special coming this year.
Transition for you coming up north and relearning almost a different game.
Yeah, you know, there's obviously a lot of different rules with, you know, 12 people on the field and stuff like that and the yard off the ball, but at the end of the day, it's football. You know, football's football, and it's a physical game, so just come out there and be physical and play hard, and the rest will take care of itself.
Has there been a guy or a coach who's kind of taken you under your wing and kind of helped you in your transition, as you know, even from the college game into this week?
Everyone here has been, like, when I say this, I'm not just saying it, they've been tremendous. I mean, the head coach, the offensive line coach, the vets like JB, Tate, Ferlin, Yoshi, Fry. I mean, everyone has been super helpful, and I'm just very lucky to have the support. And if I have any questions, I can go to them about anything, and they'll help me out.
There is Peyton Collins. Big Red is his nickname.
Uh-huh. Red hair, yeah.
Flaming red hair.
I love it.
Does Peyton Collins. He will get the start.
You know something? They started a rookie left tackle last year in Trevor Reed, and that turned out pretty well for them. So, I don't know. Precedent has been set. If this guy is as good as Reed was, they're okay. But I think they're probably still hoping that Brammer's okay, because he showed himself to be a very good offensive lineman last year. And hopefully it's not a serious back injury.
Because if the starting lineup, if he didn't hurt himself, would be Tate at left tackle, the veteran Canadian, and Brammer at right guard, and Zach Fry at left guard. Yep. So here we go. Do you remember your first game, Belton, in the pros?
Like it was yesterday.
Or I guess I should say in the CFL.
Like it was yesterday, Jamie.
What was the biggest learning curve for Belton Johnson?
That yard off the ball. And I.
Do you remember who you were up against?
Might have been the BC Lions for some reason.
Was it Aaron
I
Hunt
just
already?
Keep thinking Aaron Hunt. Yeah. And, you know, Coach Gibby, who.
Mike Gibson.
Yeah, he's in town today, right?
Yep.
So I know he likes to eat out at Smoking Okies. And so I got a message from Eric that Coach Gibby says hello and everything. And I remember Coach Gibby, he graded hard, right? Belton thought he had a great game.
No.
When I got that grade sheet out, it just ripped the heart out of me, fellas. I'm like, what? But Coach Gibby, that's how he grades, right? Uh-huh. So I learned from him.
Yeah, you would have with Coach Mike, veteran coach of the Canadian Football League. He's been around for – was he on one of the Grey Cup staffs in 07?
Oh,
he might have been on that staff back in the day. He is the O-line coach for the Ottawa Red Blacks. Let's get to our final score in the final couple of seconds here on the Green Zone pregame show. Of course, we'll be back for the postgame show to assess the opening game of the CFL season. Final score and who wins here on Bold Predictions.
I saw yours, Belton. Go ahead. You changing yours?
Well, I almost want to pick the Red Blacks because of what I've seen the past 2 weeks from the Riders, that preseason crap. But I'm picking the Riders. It's the home opener, and I'm picking them 29-20.
29-20.
You know, the Riders have won their last four season openers, hey?
Last year was what, 33-30? Mm-hmm. I remember that.
I think they're going to make it five. 26-22.
Ooh.
26-22. I welcome in our new prognosticator. I don't know if you heard Shauna Foster from Z99 and C95. She nailed the Oilers prediction last night. She said 32-14, so I'm just going to go with that for the Rough Riders over the Red Blacks.
There we go.
A blowout.
There we go.
Mosaic Stadium. It is the Rough Riders and the Red Blacks tonight to open the CFL season. Of course, more action all weekend long across the CFL. Toronto's in Montreal, Hamilton's in Calgary, and Edmonton is in BC. Now, those two games are on Saturday, Toronto, Montreal, tomorrow night. But all the attention on Saskatchewan and Mosaic Stadium. Enjoy the game. And we will be back with the Green Zone post-game show, as always, right when that final whistle sounds on TSN. Turn on the radio and give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. We'll talk to you then on the Green Zone post-game show right here on the home of the fans, 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.